I had some with oranges cream to kind of
Long Talk Radio.
Hey, man.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Right.
Rob, okay.
I'm here.
What just happened? Yeah, Gary, that one of Gary just dropped off for some reason, so we're having Gary call back in. I don't know why. Yeah, call back in. I don't know why that just happened, but Gary dropped in. Looks like Blog Talk is doing something. Yeah, I know. So we're going to wait till we get Gary in. There he is. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I don't know, Gary. I saw that drop. I thought it was Rob that dropped. I'm like, no, that's Gary. That's not good at all. And he wasn't even talking junk about the Lakers this time. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth, Dre. I was about to say he must have been saying something about the Lakers.
Nah, he was pretty good in the pre-show, in our little pre-game. But we are officially ready to talk some sports. Unfortunately, JQ had a mishap with his phone, America. So he was emailing me saying that he feels really sorry about the mess up his phone. But he is waiting for insurance to ship him a new phone, and once that occurs, he should be back on the show next week. So here we are, the three amigos right now. I didn't text Naj. Maybe I should see if he'll just magically join in. But, again, we are ready to talk some sports. For you gentlemen that are on the call, I hope you guys had a great Father's Day. I hope they took care of you. They didn't get you any ties or anything crazy, but you also had a good Father's Day. You'd have to cook too much, so I'm going to do what I always do and check in with everyone. Go around the horn. Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Two doses of asparagus today. You know, feeling good. We got it in, Doc.
I'm alive in
a College World Series. We got to stay alive by beating Wake Forest tomorrow night. So go Tigers.
Here we go. All right, Gary. I'm sorry that you got to follow the asparagus comment, but there you go, man. You feel this evening,
that's hard to follow, but I'm going to do my best. Doing good. Had a great Father's Day. Just relaxed. We had celebrated, Father's Day a few days in a row. So we celebrated Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it was nice. Had a good time.
For you, did you have to do any cooking on Father's Day? Any barbecuing, anything like that, or did they take care of you?
Oh no. I'm really a spoiled man, actually. You know, my wife takes really good care of me. She's a great cook, and we went out to dinner. We celebrated at different places. You know, that was Friday. We went to, I think we went out for steaks on Friday night, and we went up to a McMenamins on the Columbia River up in Klamath, Washington on Saturday. And Sunday we were home and had a few people over and did a little wine tasting and just had a good time.
Nice. What about you, Rob? Anything exciting happening for Father's Day for you?
Believe it or not, we went to Switzerland for a three-day weekend. So, went all the way to Europe for a three-day weekend.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah,
love that.
Yeah, short trip, but went to Zurich. Went to Zurich and went to Interlaken. And it was really nice, really nice. Had some cheese fondue, had some chocolate fondue. And
nice.
So, you know, those are must when you go to Switzerland. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Swiss love chocolate, right. So there you go. So, you know, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Of course, we We bought a whole lot of chocolate back, too.
All right, well, you have our addresses, so.
Just saying. You know, yeah, I'll put it in the chat. Anyway, so good stuff. This guy's flying to Switzerland, you know, awesomeness. So one day, you know, I don't feel as bad. I'm over here. Well, I had gigs to do, so I couldn't make any you know, trips.
Hey,
but
don't forget, y'all, next August, we still down for a couples trip, right? Ireland and Florida.
Yeah, we're going that. We're doing
Georgia
that.
Tech,
yep.
Florida State. Gary, you still down? You and Loretta?
You know, I would love to, and I'll say yes now, and you know, just in the event that something happens where I need to be home. But, yeah, I'd love to go. So let's do it. Let's plan it.
Yeah, yeah. Georgia Tech, Florida State in Dublin.
Love it. Should be good.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, hopefully get a chance to see my cousin. He'll fly through because he's in Germany and all that fun stuff. So we'll have some fun. So, America, we apologize for that slight, turn of events. We kind of went a different direction here. But let's get back on track here. We are Fisher Red Talking Sports. June the 20th is upon us. We got 2 days until the NBA draft. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but without further ado, always call on the show. The number to call into is always the same number. That's a kickoff, Gary. It's the 424-243-9519. Call us on that number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12 THMAN Sports. And last but not least, facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12 man sports. You will find us as well. We post a lot of fun things. We post mock drafts and all that fun stuff, too. So this is what we do, as always, too. So without further ado, we're going to kick it off with some football here. We're going to indulge Gary on the West Coast here. And we're going to talk about how about them Cowboys. And this is a bone for you, Gary. You get to talk about, where you think each position group ranks. And where they are strong and where they are weak. So there you go. Gary, you get the first crack at the show.
Well, I appreciate that. With the Cowboys, I'm not sure exactly where they're going to rank as far as the NFL. But in the NFC, as we debated last week, we have we have two teams that we thought were, as a group, thought that were stronger than the Cowboys, the 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles. But the strength on the Cowboys are definitely their defensive line. They were strong last year. They're going to be even better this year. I think that in free agency, I think that with their defensive backfield, defensive backs and safeties, I think that's going to be a strength. I think their linebackers are good. I don't think they're great, but I think they're good enough with what they have up front and what they have, in the backfield. As far as weaknesses, I think the wide receiver depth is definitely a concern. I think you have a drop-off at wide receiver. You get the first two guys, and then it goes south.
Right.
And it's a sharp drop-off, I think. And sharp, also
sharp,
running
sharp
back.
Point after that, right?
Oh, yeah. And running back, the running back depth is not there. So we'll see if Pollard can stay healthy enough, and if he's strong enough to take on that role that Zeke did for the last 7 years, where you're that back that has just got to be there, got to stay healthy, got to stay with it. Zeke did a pretty good job of it. Now he's gone. Pollard's there. He's got speed. He's a good athlete. I question his durability. We'll see how that shakes out. And the other weakness is, in my opinion, is the head coach. And you talked about the seeing, and you talked about glaring weaknesses. You got to look at that. And as Rob has pointed out a few times, you know, you have, he has the, you know, same, roughly the same pedigree as Sean Payton, but I think Sean Payton is definitely a much better coach than McCarthy. McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. He's, you know, you can't fault him too much when the team has gone, you know, 12-5 and 12-5 in back-to-back seasons. So, but one win in the playoffs, two losses in the playoffs. So when it counts, this is when they got to get this done. Another one that is kind of borderline, whether it's a weakness or a strength, it really is the quarterback position. I think they've got a good backup quarterback. He definitely has proven himself. Dak has the ability, if he's got, and like other quarterbacks, there are those few quarterbacks in the league that can make something out of nothing. You know, Tom Brady was that guy that could have a lesser receiving core and still lead his team to a Super Bowl. Or, you know, Patrick Mahomes with basically, let's throw to the tight end and I'm going to wing it whoever I want. No one's going to know who I'm throwing it to.
Right.
And I think other quarterbacks are like that are Burrow. He's heading in that same direction. He's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think he has that ability and that intelligence. I think Dak is not those guys. So he's got to have a lot more around him. So I put him on closer. I don't put him on the weak side, but I put him closer to that side than I would the strength. I think he's a middle-of-the-road guy. So he's middle-of-the-road there with that. He's maybe a top 12 quarterback in the league.
That's a pretty fair assessment.
So the big weaknesses were wide receiver, running back, coaching, and then quarterback is in that. And those are two. Now Vegas doesn't see it that way. You know, Vegas has the Cowboys as the sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl. So those are pretty good odds for a team that I've just basically ripped apart. I think by far their strength is going to be their defense. I think they're going to be able to hold teams down. I think they'll be better than they were last year. I think instead of being a top five defense, I think they'll be a top two or three defense in the league.
Okay.
And I don't think there's a team that they can't match up against on that side of the ball.
Nice. That's a pretty accurate. I'm gonna throw it to Rob too, really quickly. I'm gonna say this: with one move, it's actually a two move thing. If DeAndre Hopkins and Dalvin Cook decided to pair up and go to some place like Dallas, that'll basically knock out two of your weaknesses and strengths right there, man. So that's amazing. Not that that's gonna happen, but that would be amazing if something like that happened, right? If you had a dual like, hey, let's go to the Cowboys. This is obviously pie in the sky thinking, but that will definitely solve two of the weaknesses.
Well, and that would be with pretty much any team they go to. If you've got, you know, not just the Cowboys. You put them on it, really, you know, with the exception of just a few of the bottom feeder quarterbacks in the league, they would screw it up.
Yeah, that's a pie in the sky, but very accurate. Go ahead, Rob. I know I wanted to talk about that too. Some good stuff for sure, Gary.
Yeah, when you look at the Cowboys, I mean, obviously, Gary is a fan, so he's going to know his team probably better than we do. But, you know, from an outsider looking at it, you know, when I look at their strength, I think their secondary is the strongest position group on the team. As a matter of fact, you know, I think Dallas might have the best secondary in the entire NFC. When you look at Stephen Gilmore, and you look at Trayvon Diggs at the cornerback position, and you look at Jordan Lewis, Deron Bland covering the slot, and then they're deep at safety, Donovan Wilson, Javon Kearney, and Malik Hooker. I mean, the only other secondary I think that comes close in the NFC is my beloved Saints. And
But,
yeah, I think the Cowboys and the Saints are definitely the two teams with the best secondaries, you know, in the NFC going into the season this year. And so I would definitely put that as a real strong position group, and adding Stephen Gilmore, of course, really just took the group to another level.
Yeah.
And I would agree, the defensive line is another position group, especially they're saying that Michael Parsons is going to be a full-time pass rusher now, defensive end now. So he's not going to be considered a linebacker. So when you look at Michael Parsons, you look at Terrence Armstrong, DeMarcus Lawrence, Dante Fowler, down the depth chart of defensive end. You add Mazi Smith, defensive tackle from Michigan. If there was one weakness on that defensive line, Dallas struggled stopping the run a little bit. And so now you add Mazi Smith, tremendous talent from Michigan. And you still got Jonathan Hinkins there as well. So I would say their second strongest group is the defensive line position. You know, I know we give Dak a hard time, but when you look at the overall depth of the quarterback position with Dak and Cooper Rush, I mean, that combination is probably one of the better in the leagues when you look at it from a depth perspective. Not saying that they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but I think from a depth perspective, they probably have one of the better combinations of one and two at the quarterback position in the league. I'm not sure if it's the best, but I think it's up there for sure. And the last, and as far as weaknesses for the Cowboys, to me, their obvious weakness is that kicker. And you may say, well, kickers. Yeah, you may say. Gary's laughing at me. But, I mean,
no, I'm not. Why did
right
I got to put the K right here?
Gary put that kicker out of his mind.
When you think about how close a lot of these NFL games are, I mean, the kicker could win and lose your ball game, right? And right now the Cowboys are going into the season with Tristan Vizcano as an unproven kicker, as their kicker right now going into the season. Now, he could turn out to be great. We don't know. But right now, to me, that's got to be the weakest or the biggest question mark for them going into the season. And I would agree with the wide receivers outside of Brandon Cook and CeeCee Lamb. Not a lot of depth there, but I think the weakest, definitely for me. And they got a new place, a holder, too, going into the season. So what is their field goal kicking game going to be like? To me, that's an area of concern for the Cowboys going into the season.
Not concerned about their running back depth?
Not so much. I think they're going to, you know, there's so many guys still available right now on the street. When you look at a Leonard Fournette who can come in and be a pounder for you. I think Dalvin Cook is going to get snatched up pretty quickly, but there's some guys out there that I think that can help you from a depth perspective at the running back position. So I don't think that's a huge concern. And I mean, you may even bring Ezekiel Elliott back as a pounder too.
Yeah. He was supposed to go to the Browns, and the Browns went in a different direction. So that was kind of the news that I was reading about too, but there is hope, if you will. I definitely want to say, you know, I know you guys are talking about how awesome your secondary is. And yes, I know I got to interject. Don't sleep on the Falcons, man. I like the moves we made. You know, everyone's still talking about Okuda. I know he was, you know, we got to see where he is, but I like the addition of him. Love the fact they got Jesse Bates the second, Clark Phillips the second, Mike Hughes, Trey Flowers. I like the depth that we're building as well, too. So don't sleep on us. I ain't saying we're going to be, you know, top of where the Cowboys are, but I'm liking what the moves that we've made in this particular offseason too. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, again, we'll keep.
Yeah, I've said on the show several times that the Falcons could be a scary team if they get any kind of production at the quarterback position. Yeah, and I think
that.
That's
right,
the only thing that's holding the.
Yeah, no, you were 100% correct. Yeah, I'll let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
No, I think that's the only thing that's holding people back from picking the Falcons is. They're not sure about what they're going to get at the quarterback position. But overall, when you look at their talent, and what they have on the offensive line and the weapons that they have and improvements that they've made on defense, They definitely can be a sleepy, scary team, especially if they get any kind of decent production out of the quarterback position.
And that's the tough challenge too, right? Because if you look at Marcus Mariota, we thought he was going to, you know, he started out pretty strong, and then his decline was pretty unfortunate. And like you said, that's why they made the decision to move to Desmond Ridder. But I get you. It's definitely relatively unknown. And that's the same thing whenever we're talking about the Carolina Panthers, right? Because, you know, right now you're looking at it, same thing can be said about the Panthers, right? And even the NFC South, if you will, too, because – we got a lot of interesting situations. If you look on paper, obviously Derek Carr should be the best quarterback in the division. And, you know, obviously with the way the Saints, you know, everyone's going to like that. You look at the Carolina Panthers, they were a very solid team. Defense was great. You know, like you talk about, they've got great running game. They made some good moves in the offseason, obviously making the trade with the Bears, getting some situations too. And just you can see as far as what's happening, all they needed was a quarterback, right? So, again, you're going to look at Bryce Young, and if he's going to be acclimated quickly enough to the NFL, that's going to be the only challenge. And I'm not going to hate and say that the Panthers can't, but it's a relatively unknown, right? One of the best quarterbacks back in the day was Peyton Manning, and he struggled coming out. He was probably one of the most NFL-ready quarterbacks, too, and he has some struggles. I know we're kind of going back, way back, but you look at the situation with Bryce, he is in a situation to be successful. Frank Wright is a great coach, new coaching staff. There's some unknowns with them as well, but, you know, it really depends on how quickly Bryce Young can acclimate to the NFL before I think that, you know, they're going to take over the NFC South right now. There's a lot of unknowns for all teams, I would say, too. So no one really knows. In this
instance. And to me, this just like the Falcons, this is another team to me that can be scary, right? And it all, when you look at Carolina's offensive line, right, you look at the way they run the football. You look at the additions they made at the receiver position. And then when you look at their defense with Horn at cornerback, and you look at Brian Burns, the edge rusher.
Brian Brown.
They have pieces in place. So similar to the Falcons, if the Panthers get anything out of the quarterback position, and they're raving about the kid in camp already. They've already moved him to QB1 ahead of Andy Dalton. So this is another team that could be very scary, right? And so when you look at them, they have the pieces in place as well. You just don't know what they're going to get at the quarterback position. And so definitely, and they have the most established head coach in the division, right? Dennis Allen had his best season as head coach of 7-10 last year. It's not saying much. Arthur Smith, I'm not sure what's his best record as a head coach. And then we look at Todd Bowles. He hasn't done much as a head coach. Last year's team won a division, but they won it at 8-9. And so when you look at it, not that Frank Wright has been a Super Bowl winning coach, but he's at least been the head coach and taking teams to playoffs. And so they have the most proven head coach in a division right now. I think most prognosticators are picking the Saints because of the experience that they have at the quarterback position. But to me, Carolina and Atlanta could be sleepers just because of, you know, the improvements that they made in offense. But we just don't know what they're going to get at the quarterback position.
As long as they don't keep crapping on us. Gary, what happened? You just disconnect yourself from Zoom?
Yeah, I went off. I'll get back on. So what I was going to say is, you know, with the Panthers, you know, I could see them with a 10-7, 9-8, or a 10-7 record. I just went over their schedule, and I just think that's definitely doable if they get the production out of their quarterback. That's the best case scenario is 9-8. 10-7 mark for them. I think if they don't get that production out of them, they'll be lucky if they win 7 games.
Yeah. It's just like you said, how quickly he acclimates to the NFL. He's got the amazing skill set. You know, he's been, you know, a great quarterback in Alabama playing, and the SEC can definitely help him. Like you said, Rob, just surrounded by a really solid team that runs the ball well, plays great defense. You've got some weapons on on the offense. You added, you know, Adam Thielen. You added a couple of better wide receivers to help him out. And you have a great coach. So, you know, on paper it looks great. But, again, it really depends on how quickly he acclimates to the speed of NFL. And by all means, he will acclimate. But just like you said, Gary, how fast? You know, if he does that quickly, yeah, 10-7, you know. But like you said, worst-case scenario, he's going to have some growing pains for sure. But it's going to be a joy to watch for sure. So we'll see. And we've got some things to discuss about that. I think we talked about really quickly the package deal between Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Hopkins. It was on an Adam Scheffler podcast where they were talking about that. And this is an interesting concept, right, that we talk about this a lot in the NBA and to have this in the NFL, right? Like, yeah, that'd be cool to kind of, you know, pair up. Very unique situation, right, because a lot of times maybe you have a quarterback kind of, you know, Joe Burrow kind of asking for his guy, you know, Ja'Marr Chase. Sometimes it happens that seems a little bit more common than kind of two skill position players. But who knows if this does kind of like even happen. It can be done, right? It's not like, hey, guys, sign us both, you know. Let's see how this kind of plays out, you know. So, but I think it's a pretty interesting situation if it does actually happen. So what say you about that, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, two teams come to mind for these two players if they are a package deal. To me, it will be division rivals, either Miami or New England, in my opinion.
I know
Tennessee has some interest in DeAndre Hopkins, but I can't see Tennessee going for, hey, I'll take both of you when they already got Derrick Henry, you know, in the backfield, right? So to me, if there are two teams that would take them both, to me it would be New England, who could use some help at both positions, and Miami. And then when you know, the head coach from the Miami Dolphins comes from the San Francisco tree. They can never have too many running backs, right? And you know, and they have some pretty good depth at the wide receiver position too, Miami, you know. So they have some pretty good receivers already. So it'll be, to me, those are the two teams to watch if a team takes both of them. You know, I think Miami and New England. New England definitely needs help. They definitely need some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. To me, they will be a team that will be the biggest winner if they can sign both. Miami already has some good receivers and some decent running backs. So to me, that would just be almost the rich getting richer. You still got Tyreek Hill, and you got Jalen Waddle, and you got DeAndre Hopkins in the mix. And, I mean, you just put yourself together an all-star team there. If Tua can stay healthy, you know, Shaq Garrett might can't even quarterback those guys if you got those three receivers.
I can.
Yeah.
I'll throw my 9-yard bomb.
And just let them get you those yak yardage, make your yardage look good, right?
Yeah. We have to go in feet, not yards.
So, to me, those would be the two teams to watch if a team decides to go after both of them.
You know, and if a team does this, that may be a start of something in the NFL. You know?
Yeah, talk about that.
You know,
yeah.
I think that's a
situation we're doing.
Interesting concept there.
Let's move over to the triplets, your top five triplets, Gary. Yeah, that.
Well, you know, the top four are, you know, are exceptional. You know, Burroughs, Mixon, Chase for Cincinnati, L.A., Chargers, Herbert, Eckler, Allen, of course, Kansas City with Mahomes. What's his name? Healer.
Kelsey.
And Kelsey. The Bills, Allen, Singletary, and Diggs. Maybe we could throw in Dak, Pollard, and Lamb. But I think the difference between those first four triplets and the Dallas are still, you know, they're a ways off, in my opinion. But I was looking at these triplets on ESPN, on their website, and they had Philadelphia at 17 with Hurts, Sanders, and Brown. They had San Francisco at 21, you know, with, you know, Lance Mitchell and Debo Samuel. So I don't know. I think that, you know, if you look at the odds and you look at everything, I think the Cowboys are a lot closer to those teams than what people are realizing because, you know, those people in Vegas, they don't lose a lot of money. And if you look at the odds between those three teams, they're pretty close with everything. But those are my five triplets. Of course, you know what my – I think you know what my, you know, all-time triplet is, right? I think you know that, right?
Aikman, Smith, and
Irvin.
No, you guys got it wrong. But this, nice try, though. That's my second. Staubach, Dorsett, Drew Pearson is my is the original. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have the Cowboys triplet at number three, so you're right. I don't think they're – I have Dak, Tony Pollard, CeeDee Lamb at number three spot. So I don't think you're definitely that far off. My number one is the Bengals, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
And for me, it was about, you know, having three – all three players in somewhat close to elite status. And so I left out the Chiefs because, to me, the Chiefs don't have an elite running back. I mean, they have a plug-and-play kind of system. Isaiah Pacheco and, you know, Clyde Edwards-Alaire. So I left out the Chiefs. And my number two spot is the Chargers. And when you look at Eckler, you look at, you know, Allen, because you can even throw Mike Williams in there at the receiving position to go with Justin Herbert. So I have the Chargers at the number two spot. The number four is going to be surprising here. Seattle Seahawks, Geno Smith, Kenneth Walker, and those two wide receivers that they have. You know, so I got the Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith coming off a Pro Bowl season. Kenneth Walker, over 1,000-yard rusher, rushing. And then the elite receivers that they have here as well, too. So I have the Seahawks at the number four spot. And last but not least, I have number five. I've got the Ravens here. I know Lamar Jackson is coming off an injury-prone season, but I have him and J.K. Dobbins, and then their tight end. So I got their tight end
Mark
there.
Andrews.
Mark Andrews. So those are the three that I have for the Ravens.
I was going to say.
Yeah, you know, with me with Kansas City, you know, I was going to keep them off as well because I knew they had but it was just so hard to keep them off with Mahomes and Kelce. And then whoever is running for them has success because they are keying on Mahomes and Kelce so much that they end up having, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I threw them in there.
No, that's the thing, too. I get you, Gary, because, you know, we think of the original triplets as, you know, your quarterback, one running back, and wide receiver. How come there can't be a tight end in there? How come there can't be that situation as well? So, you know, I'm curious, man. I can't wait. You know, I'm kind of holding back my excitement because, you know, again, with the expectation, I'm really hoping that the Falcons have the future triplets and, like, you know, Pitts and, you know, Robinson and possibly a Riddler or something like that, too, because I see the potential there. As well, and even Drake London, you know, we can kind of go different directions with that too, you know. So again, it's a interesting, talented team. So it's early. I don't want to seem like a homer too much. So that's kind of where I stand in that as well too. Pretty similar as far as my triplets too. So we want to get to some NBA draft talk too really quickly. So I'm going to briefly talk about my top five running backs. And then we want to get to some NFL mock draft because there's been a lot of scuttlebutt as far as what's happening this week. If you're paying attention to a lot of the trade rumors, if you all want to talk about that, the last part of the show. But really quickly, my top running backs. And, again, looking up some things that, like you said, Gary, ESPN and whatnot, everyone has different things. I'm going to start out with Christian McCaffrey as far as the 49ers. I think that's a great situation for him. And, again, I know they executed that trade for him, and he looks like he's really going to thrive in that 49er system. Number two, this is a surprise. I'm a huge fan of, even though the Colts didn't play that well, I really like Jonathan Taylor his talent, and hopefully he just that was a dip, man. I don't know what happened with him last year. I'm going to put that as a
injury.
Kind of as he got injured, and just kind of, you know, you have bogeys in golf. It's like that was a tough season for him. The third is interesting, you know, because you could have put Saquon in there because Saquon was the Giants, if you will. So even though he's getting older, I think still the fact that he kind of did his thing last year and he was the Giant. So that's why, you know, you can easily flip-flop him and Jonathan Taylor between 2 and 3. Number four, I had Josh Jacobs just because, you know, again, just he had a really good, you know, season, even though the Raiders aren't they're kind of sucking, you know, but I just, you know, was a fan of his, what he's been putting up numbers. And, you know, Derrick Henry has been around at the top five only because, just because I know the Titans really didn't play as well, but it's good to see that. And Derrick Henry may be getting by just off of his reputation, but, you know, definitely you could kind of say a couple things of Tony Pollard in there. There's a couple guys you can put in there for the fifth kind of running that too, but that's kind of what I have for my top five.
Wow. My number one guy, you didn't even have him in his top five.
Who's that?
Austin Eckler. Man, I thought he was the most versatile back in the league last year as far as catching the ball out of the backfield, running it to the outside, running it between the tackles, and the amount of touchdowns that he got. Yeah.
That's good.
Well, the topic isn't
what they did last year, right? Mm-hmm. The topic is what they're going to do this year. What we're projecting them to do.
Yeah. You can look at it that way too. But I'm going to go with Austin Eckler. I have Christian McCaffrey number two. You can see the difference in the impact that he made on the 49ers once he went to that team. It's like his game went to another level because he was not having that kind of production with Carolina. It was funny because he got better when he went to the 49ers. And the Carolina Panthers running game got better when he went to the 49ers, too. So it was really weird.
Win-win.
Yeah. So I have Christian McCaffrey number two. Josh Jacobs, I thought even with the Raiders going 6-11 last year, I thought he was phenomenal. I looked for him. I know there's some contract issues going on there. But, you know, and the thing that sticks out to me with these top three that I have so far, they all look versatile backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And if you notice, those are the backs that are really starting to get paid in the NFL now, too. The ones that can catch the ball, that are versatile, and they can run the ball between the tackles. You see why Tony Pollard got the franchise tag. You know, the regular ground and pound backs are not going to get the big paydays anymore. And so you have to, if you're going to be an elite running back, you have to be able to do both this day and age in the NFL. Number four, same kind of player, Saquon Barkley. Catch the ball out of the backfield, run it between the tackles, versatile, can do a lot for you in your offense. Number five, might be a slight surprise, but as far as, and he improved catching the ball out of the backfield, but running the ball between the tackles, it might not be a better back on leading. That's Nick Chubb with the Browns. I mean, he is a flat-out beast running that football, and his vision is almost second to none. So, I mean, I got Nick Chubb there. And honorable mention, I got Derrick Henry at number six. Took a slight step back last year. But between the tackles, still one of the best. He's just not as versatile as some of the guys at the top of the list as far as catching the ball out of the backfield.
Well, for me, McCaffrey, how he elevated the 49ers attack and what they do down there was, well, I hated it, but it was a good move for him to bring him in. At my number two spot, I have Jacobs. I have, let's see, who's my number three? My third back is Derrick Henry. I have Barkley at four, Taylor at five. And honorable mention, this is if they're all healthy. If they're all healthy, this is how I think it'll go. And my honorable mention is to Tony Pollard, if he stays healthy and he can prove he has the durability. He can be up there with them in this conversation.
I don't know why I skipped out on Austin Eckler. That's on me, but good stuff. I don't know why. Yeah, he had a great last year, too, so that was a good call.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I was thinking. All right, Rob, let's get to this mock draft here. Let's get this going here. And some interesting moves as far as I want to hear about the Blazers, too, because there's some interesting scuttlebutt we talked about earlier with Sikkim and Zion Williams. There's all kinds of situations that are happening right now, too. So, you know, we know who's going number one, number two, Rob, and possibly number three. So we'll get about that, and let's go ahead and get this party started.
Hey, Victor Wembanyama going to San Antonio, arrived in the U.S. on yesterday. Everybody went crazy. So, I mean, this guy is like 6'4 with a wingspan of 8 feet. That's insane. And he can handle the ball like a guard.
7'4.
And he can shoot it like Kevin Durant, and he's a rim protector. I mean, everyone is saying the greatest NBA prospect since LeBron James, and that was like 20 years ago. So it's just insane the amount of pressure that's going to be put on him. But when you look at the skills and the talent, and then when you look at his length and size, you know, looks like a no-brainer prospect, but, you know, we'll have to see. But he's still at the number one spot. Last week I had Scoot Henderson at number three. I moved him up to number two. I said on last week's show, I think Scoot Henderson is the second best player in this draft. I think he is an elite prospect as well. I think you have two elite prospects in this draft, and I think it's Victor Wembanyama and I think it's Scoot Henderson. So I know Charlotte was a little hesitant because they have LaMelo Ball on the team already and having two point guards, but the NBA is positionless basketball today. And to me, unless you get an elite player for him in the trade, you got to take Scoot Henderson here. I know there's some talk about Brandon Miller, but I don't care. The NBA is positionless basketball. You got to take Scoot Henderson here. And he supposedly had an incredible workout for Charlotte. So I moved him back up to number two spot, which moves Brandon Miller down to the three spot in Portland. Tremendous spot-up shooter, tremendous athlete. I think will be a solid pro for years. It reminds me of a young Rudy Gay kind of player. He'll probably come in the league and get you 17, 20 points a night and a solid defender. Houston at number four, Amen Thompson. An athletic 6'7 point guard, you know, in the Sean Livingston realm, probably has a potential to be better than the Sean Livingston, but in that same kind of realm, tremendous athlete, great defender, great ball handler, great distributor, still has to improve his shot a little bit. Jairus Walker, number five, the Detroit power forward from Houston. This guy's a rebounding machine. He's only like 6'8", 6'9". He just has a knack for the basketball. Solid offensive game, mid-range game as well. So have him at the number five spot. Reminds me of a young Paul Millsap, just a double-double waiting to happen possibly as he's mature in the NBA. Orlando, number six, Cam Whitmore. Tremendous athlete, has the potential to be a 3-and-D guy at the small forward position from Villanova. Number seven, Isaiah Thompson. It's A-Man Thompson's twin brother. He's more of a shooting guard. Going to Indiana here, the same size. Both are tremendous athletes and good defenders. He's a little bit better shooter than A-Man. But, yeah, so but he's doesn't have the ball handling and the playmaking ability that A-Man has. Azar could probably be a 3-and-D guy in the league as well. Anthony Black, point guard from Arkansas, having gone number eight to Washington. Big point guard, 6'7". A lot of big point guards in this draft, too. 6'7", great ball skills, you know, going to Washington. They just traded Bradley Beal. Number eight, Taylor Hendricks, 6'9", small forward from Central Florida, going to Utah. And number 10, Dallas, Bilal Koulibaly, small forward from France. He's on the same French team that Victor Wembanyama is on. And with all attention on the Wembanyama, Koulibaly has really shined and improved his game. Could be a real sleeper in his draft. 6'7", over 7 foot wingspan. Tremendous defender. He's improved his offensive game. He made him go higher than the 10th spot. He's a guy that's really on the rise. So there's your top 10. I'm going to skip around to some of our team picks here. My Pelicans picking number 14. I got us taking Jalen Hood-Scafino, point guard from Indiana. another big point guard who can score a ball, 6'4", got great size, solid defender at the point guard spot, a position that I think the Pelicans could use some help in. I got the Hawks at 15 taking Cason Wallace, point guard from Kentucky. Another big point guard, 6'4", might be the best on-the-ball defender in the draft. You know, has improved his shot a little bit, but he's a great – he distributes the basketball really well, has the potential to be a really good point guard in the league to come. I see Dre has got a Warriors hat on with a Hawks jersey. I mean, that's
oh. I represent both. I got to live in this household, man.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do to not be on the sofa, right? So, Golden State. I got Golden State at 19 taking Nick Smith Jr., shooting guard from Arkansas. Another shooter for the Warriors, right? Exactly what they need, right? Steve Kerr believes that you can never have too many shooters on your ball club, and that's what Nick Smith is, a 6'6 shooting guard who can really shoot the basketball from Arkansas. Portland got two first-round picks at 23. I got Portland taking 6'8 shooting guard from Michigan, Juwan Howard's son, Jet Howard. He's one of the best shooters in this draft as well, and also a really good defender as well. So he's a guy that has the pedigree. Dad played in the NBA for a long time. Jet has excelled in almost every level of basketball that he's played in thus far. And in the second round, Golden State and my Pels don't have a second-round pick, but Portland and the Hawks do. Portland at 44, I got them taking Keontae Johnson. Great story. 6'8 shooting guard from Kansas State can get to the rack. This is the guy a couple of years ago played at Florida and he collapsed on the court. Really great recovery. He's really come back. He had a really strong year for Kansas State as he transferred there on last year. And then the Hawks at 46, I got him taking Kobe Brown, small forward from Missouri. He's really a tweener forward. He could probably get you minutes at both the small and the power forward position. Real aggressive player, really good defender, can score in the paint area, just has to improve his outside shot, solid defender as well. So there you have it.
I don't agree with your second and third picks on how they're going to go. Everything I've read is that Charlotte's still leaning towards Miller. And that's what I'm leaning for, too. Well, because, you know, if the Blazers have them, then there are teams that are, you know, they're looking at it and they want it. And they're willing to give up, you know, good players. I mean, they've had talks with, you know, with the Pelicans for Zion and Anunoby. Zach LaVine. The one player that I'm surprised that the Pelicans aren't looking at dealing really is Ingram. They like Ingram. They like him a lot.
Yeah, the Pelicans. A conversation the Pelicans have had with the Charlotte Hornets. You know, I think rumor has it that the Pels have offered the Charlotte Hornets Zion for the number two pick. And the Hornets told the Pelicans, well, call us when y'all want to talk about Brandon Ingram. And the Pels said, no, thank you. So I think Brandon Ingram is off the table here. He's coming off two phenomenal years for the Pels. So I think if it comes down to having to trade Brandon Ingram, I think the Pels will stand pat. With that 14 pick. But, you know, if Scoot Henderson is on the table with Portland at number three, then there are some teams that Gary just mentioned. Toronto could be in the mix for a trade there. The Pels could be in the mix there. Supposedly, I hear the Blazers may be open to Zion. Charlotte wants Brandon Ingram, from my understanding.
Oh, I think Portland would love to have Zion.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, I know so. I mean, that's all these interviews that they're doing on the, you know, local news and stuff with the Laser Mucky Mucks is, you know, they're just waiting to see, you know, what Charlotte does.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think Scoot would have to be available at three spot for the Pels to make that
right.
trade with Blazers. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree
yeah,
with that.
Yeah.
I mean, of those guys, Zion is the, you know, he's had health problems, but he's also young.
Mm-hmm.
But just his athleticism,
mm-hmm.
you know, is just, it's off the charts what he can do out there when he's healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him over any of these guys that we've mentioned.
Yeah, you saw it.
And they even had talks talking about bringing up Paul George, and I pray to God that they wouldn't do that. I don't want Paul George
God.
In a Blazer uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, here's the thing that you look at Zion Williamson, when he was healthy last year with the Pels, they were the number two team in the Western Conference. And so, I mean, the potential is definitely there. But I think if you're the Blazers and you want the safest player out of those players, if Toronto is willing to trade you Pascal Siakam for that number three pick, he's the guy. He's the guy that's the most consistent. He can shoot the ball. He's been consistently, you know, healthy and 6'11", has got the
yeah.
size, can handle the ball. He would be the safest guy if Toronto was willing to come off of Pascal Siakam.
He would be my if I were the GM, he would be my second choice.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'11", guys?
You know.
Is he that tall? Pascal that tall?
Let me see. They listen to 6'8"? Maybe I got it wrong. He looks 6'11".
I just
want to
make sure.
Arms.
He does have long arms. So I just want to make sure that, yeah, he's a power forward. I thought he was like 6'8".
6'9". I'm
sorry.
He listen at 6'9".
Yeah.
He listen at 6'9".
Okay. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of the guys, too, that everyone – he's in a lot of different talks whenever we talk about some trade – I mean, there was some talk, you know, again, Atlanta's in there. You know, there's some talk with the Mavericks looking to trade their 10th pick. There's a trade whenever we're trying to get rid of, you know, Capella going to the Mavericks and the Hawks getting veterans and somebody else.
They're not going to
– forgot, I got to look it
they're
up.
They're not going to get one of these guys that we just mentioned for a 10th pick.
Absolutely
not with how the – you know,
right. I'm talking about the Mavericks. I'm talking about the Mavericks.
Oh,
yeah. We're not even in that talk. I'm just saying, like, I was looking at Siakam. He was one of the names that we had for the Hawks later on. I'm talking. This is, you know, not in the top.
Oh, 10. Oh, yeah.
But I was going to say, you know, it is interesting because if everything that we're hearing is true about Charlotte, yeah, this is going to be powerful because. I saw the same thing too, Gary, that they are looking at Brandon Miller versus Scoot Henderson, which is crazy, right? So if that's the case, you know, then
yeah.
I know that's going to make your day. I don't know how you feel about having Zion, even though I don't like the baggage that Zion's bringing with all the crap off the court. But if he stays healthy, you know, that should be a good look to kind of pair with obviously Lillard, because that's an interesting move. Cause, you know, yeah.
And that's because
here's
the
what I would say
right
about
now.
That.
The Blazers are really trying to get another athlete to convince Damian Lillard to stay in Portland right now. And if they can't pull that off.
And that's not a tough sell. That's not a tough sell at all. Damian Lillard is the most loyal player in the NBA. And this is where he wants to win. But it is a tough sell for the Blazers to, you know, bring in those big names like any small market, you know. These guys, when they go, they want to go to New York and L.A. and Chicago and now Miami, you know, and the rest of us are kind of, you know, we're kind of screwed, you know. So to be able to bring in someone with the, you know, with the future upside that Zion Williams would bring would be huge for if you put him, you put him with Damian Lillard, you know, and Grant, and you've got a really solid team that can compete. If, like anything, there's some luck involved, he stays healthy a season or two, you've got a team that can compete in the West.
Yeah, there you go. A very exciting team, too. Yeah. Rob, I'm going to say a name that's going to be interesting. You remember a guy named Imani Bates? This guy was supposed to be the next Can't Miss prospect, excuse me. And it looks like he's going to be a second-round pick, if that, man. I don't know if you've been following him. But this guy may never be mentioned on the other thing. I was looking up the NBA draft.net, and I thought he was like a second-round pick. It's like, man, that's kind of interesting because that dude was supposed to be the next guy, you know.
He was the number one recruit coming out of high school, his senior year in high school. Went to Memphis, had a lot of issues there, transferred to Eastern Michigan. I have him going number 49 overall to Cleveland in the second round. You mentioned that he did have a really good year scoring a basketball in Eastern Michigan. Obviously, you have to wonder about the level of competition, but it did get him back on the radar of being drafted. Prior to this past season, he was on the radar being undrafted. So, I think a team will take a chance on him, but I don't think a team is going to take a chance on him in the first round and have to give him a guaranteed contract. So I think a team would take a chance on him in the second round where it's not a contract guaranteed. But there's no question that there's some athleticism and talent there. It's just a matter of what you're going to get out of him. So I got Cleveland taking a flyer on him in the second round.
Good stuff. Out of anything else we talked about, too, there's been some interesting rumors. Obviously, we talked about Chris Bradley Beal being traded to the Suns. That was a big move after Chris Paul was getting waived. And then there's some rumors of Chris Paul literally going to China IAP with Westbrook. I don't know why that would even be a situation, but that's kind of the rumors you're hearing about that. And it's crazy that he found out about a trade from his son through a text. Like, yo, your dad, you got a trade. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Like, too, you know. So, Rob, you can kind of finish this up and get a wrap of the show, man. So, we can kind of finish that.
Well, you know, if that's a true story, that's a classless move by the Phoenix Suns. You at least tell the guy, talk to the guy, let him know he's going to be traded. How do you find out from the son on the plane? I mean, that's insane if that's true. I'm not a Phoenix Suns fan, you know, by any means, but, you know, you still got to tell the team. You still got to tell a player, hey, do the right thing. Be professional about it. I think Chris is professional enough to understand that this is a business, which he said on Good Morning America. But, I mean, at least give him the courtesy to at least let him know. But on the flip side of that, if you look at the Phoenix Suns now, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, I don't know who's handling the ball there. Maybe it's Bradley Beal, but the NBA's position is basketball now. They have three elite scorers on that team right now, and you still got one of the better big men in the league in DeAndre Ayton. Now, can they get some top-notch free agents to take lower deals to sign with them? Because right now in the playoffs, they did play Denver the toughest in the playoffs. They're the only team that beat Denver twice in the playoffs this past year. But Phoenix depth could not contend with Denver. So they need to find a way to put some depth with those players. And if they do, I mean, that's a legitimate championship contender if that team stays healthy. Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music at the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night, we want to hear from y'all. In New York and Atlanta, there's a lot of trash talk between the Braves and Mets fans. So we want to hear from you guys on next week on the East Coast, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Central Time Zone. We want to hear from y'all. New Orleans, Minneapolis, Chicago, it's 10 p.m. We want to know what the Bears and the Vikings and the Saints are going to do next year. We want to hear from y'all 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And even Dallas, they're in Central Time Zone too. 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Mountain, Salt Lake, Denver, 9 p.m. Mountain. And West Coast, Portland, Seattle, L.A., 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Join us on next Tuesday night. You get to click on the same link to get the OT portion. Good night, people.
Good night, people. I'm gonna do what did he say? Go Chargers. That's a shout out to JQ there as always too, man. So officially we're in the OT portion. I know we're gonna wrap this up because it has been a long day. So if you wanna pick a topic and call it, that'll be our last moment as we get ready to wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man. So I don't know if you want to start, Gary, or we'll Rob to start, and then we wrap this thing up, too. So there we go.
Well, what about JQ's Reds? Hot.
Yeah, playing well.
You know, he was pretty down on them. Pretty down on them at the beginning of the year.
That's when I realized something must have been wrong with JQ when I sent the text about the Reds, and he didn't reply. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, he's on fire. Yeah, the youngsters are playing well. That's the farm system is probably coming through. We talked about that last week with the Elzian, whatever his name is. It's doing pretty well. McLean, they've got, you know, they're actually showing to play well, too. So kudos to the Reds. And they're on an amazing little streak, too. So, good stuff. Yeah. They stay hot. Joey Votto, the old guy comes through, right? But just a kind of a nice blend of youth and some veterans as well.
Yeah, and won again tonight too, so it's 10 in a row. They are really on a roll.
Yeah.
They are really off to in first place, the Reds, in first place, unbelievable. Yeah, I don't think JQ would ever thought that coming into the season.
No, he was pretty down on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty down on
My topic, I'll talk about the NBA free agency a little bit. I know we talked about some possible moves with Zion and the Toronto forwards and Chris Paul. When you look at from a free agency standpoint, James Harden, what is he going to do? I think it looks slightly leaning towards staying in Philadelphia. Nick Nurse seems to have put together a great proposal to him and convinced him that they can compete for a championship next year. There were some rumors of James going back to Houston, but all indications are look like he's going to stay in Philadelphia. Kyrie Irving, a free agent, all indications are look like he's going to stay in Dallas. Chris Middleton, another one, coming off injuries. So it's going to be interesting there. I mean, I haven't heard anything, but I would assume Milwaukee is going to be the team that's going to try to keep him. Kristaps Porzingis, you know, coming off one of his best years. Washington has traded Bradley Beal. Do they keep him and try to build a team around him? It's going to be interesting. Fred VanVleet, I definitely do not think he's going to be back in Toronto. I thought the Sixers could be a team in play for him. Maybe Miami gets in play for him if they can't get a Damian Lillard. Maybe they get in play for a very underrated player, Fred VanVleet, tremendous shooter. So maybe Miami gets in play if they can't get Damian Lillard to come to the Miami. Draymond Green, I still think he goes back to Golden State. And here's one that maybe Gary can give us some insight on. Yeah, he does. And here's a guy that maybe Gary can give us some insight on is Jeremy Grant from Portland. Every time I saw the Blazers and the Pels play last year, I was really impressed with him in his game and how much he's improved. And he's a free agent. So what happens there with Jeremy Grant? Does he stay in Portland or they're looking to move him?
I think they're in talks now. I think he's going to stay in Portland. I'm pretty confident in that. That's what the news reporters that have interviewed him, that's what they've said. I haven't heard it directly out of his mouth, but I've heard it from the news reporters that said that they were speaking with him, and a couple of them, he was at the airport, and a couple of the news reporters there had had a chance to speak with him, and he was looking forward to who they were going to bring in and what they were going to do. And, you know, the one guy that get off Grant real quick, the one free agent that that I would love to have come to Portland, I'd love to have Brook Lopez come to Portland. We had his brother here, but Brook Lopez, you know, older player, not going to cost you a lot, and he's a smart, fundamental player. I'd like to have Brooke Wiltez in Portland.
Good size, too.
Ah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do we got, gentlemen? Are we done for the evening?
I was going to say, just again, give us some shout-outs to the Braves. Man, I know you said that the Braves and the Mets, both fan bases be talking a lot of junk. But we're not worried about the Mets right now. Braves are continuing to have a 7-game winning streak. We won again tonight as well. So just to see us just putting up numbers, we pretty much crushed the Rockies last series. So it's good to see, Ronald Acuña playing well. Michael Harris, he's coming out of his little slump. And we got some pitching. We're excited to see, Spencer Strider doing his thing. Even though it's crazy that, Max Fried has been on the DL. Bryce Elder's been pitching well. And we sent Mike Soroka down, so hopefully he's going to come and make a little comeback too. So, Braves, Sean Murphy's playing well. Matt Olson's been raking. Eddie Rosario's coming back to form from his 2021 form or 2022 form. So, yeah, come on, Mets. Talk all that junk. And we'll see. But, just in seriousness, too, as we wrap this up, I'm excited about the draft, too. I'm curious what's going to happen because there's going to be a lot of movement that's going to happen in the next 2 days. I cannot wait to see what happens in the NBA front for sure.
I'll be looking forward to it. I'll be in front of the TV with my notepad ready.
I would say Zion's going to be a Pelican. Go ahead.
So during the course of this Andre knows, I don't think you heard, but we got an offer for our house and we've made a counter offer and we're kind of going back over the counter offer with them right now. So I'll probably have some news on whether or not we got our house sold. But
nice.
As soon as we have our house sold, Rob, we're going to be neighbors. We're going to be – oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You going to Orlando or you coming to Tampa?
Well, we'll probably – I don't know. We're going to go north. We're looking all over the area, in between north and in between Orlando and Tampa. So we'll be close. We'll be close enough you can throw a rock into my swimming pool. Oh, no.
Sounds
we'll
good.
Be able
we'll get
throw
together.
A kid in there. Yes, absolutely.
So I'm mainly there on the weekends these days, occasionally maybe a day or two during the week. So I usually fly there on Friday afternoon, and then I fly back to Atlanta on Monday morning. We'll definitely have to get together. So keep us posted.
Mm-hmm. We'll do.
All right, gentlemen.
Can we stick you tonight?
Yeah, he missed the JQ, so hopefully we'll check in, hopefully get his phone. I'll email him and tell him that he's always missed the show because his amazing feedback and insight is always missed. So I'll let him know, and then we'll keep it going. So thank you for joining. Thank you for the topics, Rob. And like I said, it's going to be an interesting situation the next couple of days for sure. So keep it going.
Yeah. All right. Good night,
gentlemen. Have a great rest of your evening. Good night.
Yeah.